giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I count it a blessing again to teach and proclaim the Word of God. Again, if you would turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 8, let's read verses 22 through 25 from that chapter 8 of the Gospel of Luke. And as usual, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 22. And it reads, "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him.'" May God bless the reading of his word. Let us look again at verses 23 and 24. "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.'" This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's one that I love. And I want us to focus for a few moments this morning on the topic, the power over hopelessness. The power over hopelessness. Let us pray. God, our Father, we look to you, O Heavenly Father, for your wisdom, for your guidance, for your direction, Lord God, that only comes through you and from you, O Heavenly Father. We look to your word, Lord God. We look to you, O Heavenly Father, by the power of your Spirit to reveal to us in your word the direction that you would have us to go. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that your people hear your word, receive your word, and be doers of your word, and to believe that we do have the power over hopelessness. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. When you look at the condition of the world in which we live in, it should be very easy to see why so many people are without hope. But it does not have to be that way. Our adversary, Satan, wants to discourage us and make us feel like things will never get better, like there is no way out. And when you are in that frame of mind, that is called despair, that is called hopelessness. There's not one of us who has not had the enemy strike hard at us to bring us to a place of despair and hopelessness at one time or another. There is a battlefield that is called the mind where we wrestle against the powers of darkness, and that includes doing battle against hopelessness. But as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. noted, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. And I would respectfully add this morning that hopelessness cannot drive out hopelessness. Only hope can do that. Hope is the confident expectation that something good is going to happen. Hope in God is more than wishful thinking, because hope in God has no uncertainty in it. Hope in God does not carry might in it. Hope in God knows that just as we are now under God's power and protection and provision right now, hope in God also knows that he is also there in the future with the same power and the same protection and the same provision. Because to be without hope is to believe a lie. To be without hope can drive you to think wrong. And when you think wrong for any extended period of time, it will ultimately cause you to do wrong. And that brings us to the disciples here in Luke chapter 28. In this passage of scripture from verses 22 and 23, we see where despair and hopelessness can drive people to make the wrong conclusions about their situation. But thank God also, we also see here the power over hopelessness. We start here in verse 22 of Luke chapter 8 with Jesus asking his disciples to come with him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is located in northern Israel and which was close to where Jesus and most of the disciples had lived. The Bible says in verse 23 that as they went out, Jesus fell asleep, and then a storm suddenly arose. That is like that in life so often. Storms can come from what seems like out of nowhere. The storms of life that we face are like that. The weather can be good when you get started out, but quickly turn bad before you can get across to the other side. 1 minute things seem okay, and the next minute you are in the midst of a violent storm. But the disciples here were looking at an actual storm. And that actual storm turned into a spiritual storm very quickly. Because they were on a boat that was tossing and turning in the middle of this deep lake, and they began to think they were dying. The storm was fierce. They could not row out of it. And it says in verse 23 that water was coming into the boat. The disciples sincerely thought that they were all going to die. But if you really look at what was coming into their boat, it was more than the wind and the rain that was coming into the boat. It was more than the lake water coming into the boat. Because what had also come into the boat was fear. And when fear is not properly addressed, it can turn into a feeling of hopelessness. And so they came to him and they cried out in their fear. It says in verse 24 that they said to Jesus, "Master, Master, we are perishing." In other words, "Master, Master, we are dying." But the disciples were not dying at that moment. They were not drowning in the lake's water. They were not gasping for air, drawing their last breath. They were still very much alive. They were just simply afraid. They let their fear turn into hopelessness. They chose to believe the lie that they were dying rather than the truth that they were still very much alive and able to make it through the storm. Sometimes circumstances can press in around us. And when those moments of challenge come, we can choose one of two things. We can choose to believe the truth, or we can choose to believe a lie. Hopelessness is really the result of believing a lie. It's not intentional in many cases. It does not even mean that the person is a very bad person or bad person at all. It just means that you have believed a lie and not believed the truth. Hopelessness is like the disciples believing the lie that they are indeed perishing, believing the lie that they were indeed dying, when their truth really was that they were still very much alive, just in a boat that was in the midst of a storm, and in a boat that also had Jesus with them. You know what destroys hopelessness? Do you want to know what destroys hopelessness? It's having an accurate understanding that God is good, that he is good for us and good to us. Because our own human tendency is to allow how we feel to affect what we believe. And these disciples allowed their feelings of despair and hopelessness to come to the conclusion that they were dying when the reality was that they were still very much alive. But despite their drawing the wrong conclusions about their situation, they got one thing right. They did one thing right. They went to Jesus. It's always right to bring your problems to Jesus. As the song says, take it to the Lord in prayer. This message this morning really only has one point, and that is that the power over hopelessness is not a feeling. It is a person. The power over hopelessness is not an emotion. It is a person. And that person's name is Jesus. The Bible says in verse 24 that Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the rain, and it ceased. The truth prevailed over the lie. And so as I move to my conclusion, I just want to remind someone this morning that as long as there is life, there is hope. I know the story of a little boy who lived in South Apopka on a street named Robinson Avenue. He was a toddler at the time and had gotten out of the house and had run into the street, which at that time was a dirt road. And at the same time this little boy was running into the road, there was coming a truck. And the truck struck this little boy right there on that dirt road. The little boy's family could have believed the lie that the little boy was dying, just like the disciples believed that they were dying. That little boy's family could have fallen immediately into a state of despair and hopelessness about what would happen to him in the short term and in the long term. But the truth was that that little boy just needed medical attention. The truth was that little boy needed to get that dirt off of him. The truth was that little boy was going to grow into a man. And the truth was that God had planned for him over 40 years later to remind someone on this phone call this Sunday morning about the power over hopelessness that they all have available to them. I know the power of hopelessness. His name is Jesus. So rather than choose to have a hopeless end, I choose to have an endless hope. I prefer to believe the truth and not believe a lie. Most people understand hope as wishful thinking, as in I hope something will happen. That is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown to us right now. But you can have a firm assurance that no matter how bad things may seem, Jesus is always watching over each of us. And that should give us hope. The power over hopelessness is not a feeling. It's Jesus. Jesus is the power over hopelessness. You may be worried about this or worried about that, but there is no hopelessness in Jesus. Jesus is the power over hopelessness. So whatever kind of situation that it seems that you're in right now, know that Jesus is Lord over it. And whatever situation you are facing, if you are not confident that the Lord is going to act on your behalf and bring you through, then you do not have that hope. You may really want things to turn out okay, but it is not hope unless you believe confidently in the power of Jesus to get you through whatever it is that you are facing. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. When hope deferred makes your heart sick, look to Jesus Christ. One of the psalmists asked the question and then answered it, "And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you." Paul wrote that when all is said and done, three things will abide: faith, hope, and love. If we genuinely believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is when your storm comes, then remember that hopelessness can never remain, but hope will remain. Hope will abide. Jesus is the power over hopelessness. The year 2020 has already presented us with its tremendous challenges. Storms have come, but remember that storms also go. Trouble does not last always. So let us leave this call today being reminded and reassured that we are not perishing. We are not dying. You are still very much alive. And as long as there is life, there is hope. That is what the gospel message is about, hope. The gospel message is about allowing Jesus to bring hope to a people that need hope. The word gospel means good news, and we need good news in a world where so many are without hope. We need the good news that our sins are erased and eternal life is given when we genuinely believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ died on our behalf and rose again. Good news that Jesus is a healer, a deliverer, a savior. The good news that this world of sin is not our home, that there is a new home over in Zion. The good news that we do not need to dwell in a state of hopelessness, that hope will abide. You know, we stopped reading at verse 25, but I liked how it transitioned into verse 26. Because in verse 26 it says, they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. In other words, they made it across the lake. They made it to the other side. They made it through the storm. They reached their destination. If Jesus tells you that you're going to make it to the other side, then you're going to make it to the other side. Jesus gives hope to the hopeless. He is the power over hopelessness. The very message of salvation for the lost is hope for the hopeless. A new and eternal life, free from pain and disappointment, is hope for the hopeless. So do not let hopelessness steal your joy. If you have gotten started with Jesus, you will make it through. Do not believe the lie. Embrace the truth. Identify the lies that you believe and replace them with the truth. Replace them with the power over hopelessness, who is Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for this time. God, we thank you for allowing us, Lord God, to know you, the power over hopelessness. And God, I pray, Lord God, that if there is anyone that is on this call that is in despair, that has lost hope, God, that you move by your mighty power and spirit, Lord God, to restore their joy, to restore their hope. God, we know that through you we have joy, we have peace, we have access to you, and you have all power over all things. You make a way out of no way. So I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you move on behalf of your people, and that you also allow them, Lord God, to be lights to those that may not have hope. Let our light so shine that men and women may see our good works, but give you, not us, the glory, and recognize you as their power over hopelessness. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word and the power of your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.